Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Dalton Gonzalez from ESPN, always gracious enough to spend some time with us, and we appreciate it. Alden, how are you today, sir?
Doing great, guys. How you doing?
We're very good. Certainly going to jump right in here with the Albert Pujols news. Take us through kind of what you know today. Things have not worked out with the Angels, and as such, the Padres are jumping in line here to bring Pujols in. What more can you tell us about it?
Yeah, there are a lot of managerial openings this offseason, and Albert Pujols has been a pretty prime figure in this. We thought for a while that he was the front runner to get the Angels job, and it looks like that's just not going to happen. They've stopped talking. There's been a breakdown in terms of compensation, but maybe also in philosophy and what they want to do or what their visions are. At this point, that's not going to happen, and they've extended their search out to other people. And yeah, Albert Pujols is going to interview with the Padres on Wednesday. He's also drawn interest from the Orioles, though there's no interview scheduled there. And as it relates to the Padres specifically, look, as soon as the news came out that Mike Schill was retiring from his position, Albert Pujols was somebody who was, you know, pointed out to by a lot of people in the industry about, hey, somebody who might be a fit for a role like this. Obviously, like, the two key guys in that clubhouse, Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr., they would probably vouch for him as manager. Now, how far will that ultimately take him? I don't know. But, you know, the fact that he's going to sit down and interview, I think, to me, the bigger thing here, whether or not he gets this job, whether or not he gets the Orioles job or some other job this offseason, it's pretty clear that Albert Pujols is being looked at as a serious managerial candidate. Even though he's outside of a stint in winter ball, he hasn't really done this before. I think it's pretty clear at this point that at some point, whether it's this offseason or another one, he's going to manage in the big leagues.
Alden, why do you think that is? I mean, you kind of hit on it, right? Not a very much managerial experience. We know who he was, Albert, the player. Why do you think he has garnered so much attention, given the fact that he doesn't have a long history of being in this spot?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I think, number one, Albert Pujols has always been somebody as a player who was revered by other players, and I think that carries a long way. And I think Albert also was known as somebody throughout his career who was a very intelligent baseball player, somebody who was very instinctual, somebody who knew how to navigate a game. I think that the combination of those two things go a long way with him. But also, I do think that what he did in winter ball opened up some eyes. Tony, I'm not sure if you ever played in winter ball. I apologize
not in the
for
Dominican.
Not knowing that, but not in the Dominican. Okay.
No.
That is an insane atmosphere. People there are baseball crazy in the Dominican. You go through like a 3-game losing streak and people want you fired. Okay. Like that, you talk about like the pressure cooker. Winter ball in the Dominican Republic is it. And the fact that he navigated that, and his team, the Leones, got up to a really bad start. And for him to eventually, like, win the championship, like, I think that opened up a lot of eyes. He's already been named the manager for the Dominican Republic. And I think also, too, like, the name Albert Pujols carries a lot of weight. So if you're an owner who wants to make a splash, create headlines, like, yeah, you hire Albert Pujols. So I think that's why he's where he's at right now. But, yeah, you're right. It's been a super rapid ascent, much faster than I would have imagined. But it's here.
Yeah, we'll take him. I said last week, I hope he's the manager because I'd like a chance to interview him and get to know Albert Pujols. That'd be a big deal to a lot of people around here, Alden. You touched on something caught my attention there and when you talked about the Angels thing, though, and you said maybe a little bit of a difference in opinion how to do things. I guess it would be more of a generalization in terms of what would you think Albert Pujols' way or what kind of things would he want to manage this Padre team?
I don't know that. I wish I did. Yeah. I think Albert wants to win. I think that's first and foremost.
Yeah, that might be the thing with the Angels, yeah.
Well, absolutely. And I think, too, and this is not an Albert-specific thing, but this is like anybody who's going to be a first-time manager, there are a lot of times that your first situation could really set up what your managerial career can be. And if you go into a situation where you're not really set up for success, that could hinder you for the rest of your career. Like if it goes really poorly in a place, even if you are Albert Pujols, it's going to be hard for you to generate momentum again to get hired. So, and I think there was legitimate interest on the part of Albert Pujols to be the Angels manager. And there was. I think also the fact that like his kids are in the Orange County area plays a part in it as well. But it's an organization that he knows. But I think having the infrastructure in place to succeed, having commitment from ownership that you're going to spend is definitely going to play a part. And honestly, as somebody like Albert, who I would imagine is a little bit more old school in how he approaches the game, I think having autonomy, or at least as much autonomy as you can get in today's game, in terms of what goes on in a game, setting your lineup, bullpen decisions, all that stuff, I think that will go a long way too. And having said that, I think that would be an advantage for the Padres. And Tony, you could speak to this, but from what I've heard from people who have worked there, one thing about the Padres is if you're a manager, they give you leeway. Like, you manage a game the way you want to. You set your lineup, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that's been my understanding.
Yeah.
Like, managers set the lineup, they make the bullpen decisions, and like that is definitely something that Albert would want.
Yeah, and that's certainly not a guarantee everywhere around the league. So
you get to do it, and then the fans get to criticize it the next day. Right. That's how that works.
Well, that comes everywhere. Absolutely.
You mentioned it. 8 spots now open across Major League Baseball with the managers. And Albert's a familiar name, but if you had to guess, will we see, as these 8 spots start to fill out, will there be more familiar names, or will we start to see, you know, names like the Tennessee coach that's rumored to be going to the Giants? Like, is that an outside-the-box type deal, or is it possible we see more names like that as this kind of fills itself out?
That was the biggest shock of all. I would think, Tony, that continues to be an outlier situation if that ultimately gets done. That would be an unprecedented move.
Right.
And I'd give Buster Posey a lot of credit for doing that. I'm sure there will be some names along the way that will surprise you. But, you know, like you look at somebody like Ryan Flaherty, who you guys know well.
Right.
Like he's gotten a lot of traction for these jobs, understandably so. Somebody like David Ross, who's looking to get back into it. Or Rocco Baldelli, who just got let go from the Twins, who, you know, has a lot of notoriety in the game. Like, I think it's interesting, though, because a lot of these teams, like, don't seem to be moving quickly enough on these managerial hires. Or maybe it's just it hasn't been reported yet. But I haven't heard a whole lot from the Braves or the Rockies or, I mean, even, I know they reached out to Albert Pujols' camp, but I haven't heard a ton from the Orioles. And this, you know how it is, like this becomes like a game of musical chairs, but you have 8 openings, you know, like this can start getting really competitive really soon. And I'm surprised we haven't heard as much from so many of the teams out there.
Alan Gonzalez, ESPN, very nice to him to visit here. We got Game 7 of the ALCS tonight. I wanted to really, really quickly congratulate you, Alden, on your story after the Ohtani game Friday night. And the reason I say that is I've been faced as a writer before, not to that level, but trying to describe something that is superhuman without doing too much hyperbole. And you struck the right chord after that game. Very difficult story to write, but I really enjoyed it. Well done.
Thank you.
But beyond that, Dave Roberts in the celebration said, hey, look, they say we're bad for baseball, so let's go out there and win four more and really make it bad for baseball. Is there any truth to what he's saying there in that regard? If the Dodgers win again, easily.
There's definitely truth if you check my social media. Yes, absolutely. I think one of Dave Roberts' greatest traits as a manager is that he has this ability to, like, figure out, like, what the tenor of a moment demands and what people want to hear, whether it's his own players, whether it's the media when they're asking questions, or whether it's his fans who have been hearing from baseball fans in every other city about how they bought a championship and they're sick of hearing it and they want to stick it in everybody's face. And that, for as much as it might have angered everybody else in the country, I think that's exactly what Dodgers fans in that moment wanted to hear. That, you know what, you say that we're breaking baseball, let's really break baseball, right? I love it because I love the drama, and I know that people are going to get upset about it. And there is a lot of truth to people's gripe. I mean, look at the reason why the Dodgers are here. The number one reason why the Dodgers are in this position is because their starting rotation is insane, okay? And their starting rotation is insane largely because they spent a lot of money to buy these starting pitchers. Now, is that the only reason why they're the Dodgers? No. I think they do everything really, really well. And when you couple that with the financial resources that they have, you elevate yourself to this point. But, I mean, look, it's funny because everybody thought that the Dodgers were going to break baseball this year and they only won 93 games. And for them, that was not anywhere close to what the expectations were.
That's how they snuck up on everybody.
But their rotation got healthy. Yeah, but their rotation got healthy at the end.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you look at their rotation's numbers over the last month, it was insane. Like, nobody was even close in terms of starting pitcher ERA in the month of September. And it's just continued on through October.
Yeah, no, it hasn't changed much. I mean, you kind of hit on it, right? They have the most resources, but they haven't had too many missteps, right? I mean, Trevor Bauer was probably one that they would want back. In terms of what they offered him. But because they have the resources, they were just kind of able to just wash over that, which most organizations wouldn't be able to do. But as you mentioned, they do a whole bunch of things right. And I'm not one of these people that think the Mariners or the Blue Jays don't have a shot, but certainly feels like that is the tenor. Around.
I looked up the odds while we were talking, Tony. The Dodgers are -210. Over either team to win the World Series. That's more than 50, you
right.
know.
Right.
Like, you're not going to get a lot of money betting on the Dodgers in the World Series, Alden.
You know what, though? The main thing that has crippled the Dodgers in recent years, some would say, was the long layoff. The layoff between...
We were just talking about this. Yeah.
You know, the end of the regular season and, you know, playing the division series. And the Dodgers thought that they bypassed that. And lo and behold, they now have a longer layoff than they otherwise would have ever had that they got to navigate through.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope it trips them up, Alden, just for our sake. Great talking with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Alden.
Again, I mean, being able to handle that Ohtani story without blowing it too much out of proportion was not easy, because that was one of the greatest performances any of us have ever seen.
Right.
And, you know, appreciate all the work you do and for coming on and joining us here in San Diego. Thanks again.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, that performance is so good that no matter what you write that night, you're always going to feel like you came up short. I continue to feel that way, but thank you for your kind words. I appreciate it.
No, you kept it under control, which I, like I said, a lot of people would have just blown it, I think, too much. Like, I would have been reading it going, okay, enough already. But you didn't, you handled it right. Alden, thanks again, man. We'll see you soon.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Yes, sir. Alden Gonzalez from ESPN right there.
Real quick.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.